We are all in love with the baby. We, meaning the number 4 bus community, weekdays at the 7 o'clock hour on our way to work and school and early morning errands. The baby wears a royal blue puffy jacket and a striped knit hat. He tracks our shop-worn, overly articulated faces. Despite how we caper, tilting and bouncing our heads, scrunching our lips and wriggling our noses, working our hands into frantic waves, the baby gazes at us with his grave baby face. He is cherry with his baby gift of a grin, a palm in the air, a mimic, obliging just often enough to lend hope to our campaigns. The father is charming, an early 30s smiler with warm eyes and skin. Perhaps South American, his soft voice generous with the vowels. Strapped to the father's chest, the baby flaps his arms. There is something of a bird in him, both cautious and confident, something of a bird and a sad little clown and a medicine man, and all of the possibilities that are open to a baby. We look at him longer than we would look at anyone else we don't actually know, and he will not say or even think that it is rude to stare. I say that we are all in love with the baby, but probably there is someone on this bus who is not. Probably someone looks out the window or at the affable father or at her own lap and thinks, "God damn that baby." This person is not swayed by the miniature hands, the swollen cheeks, the exploratory chirps, not swayed by this new human, welcomed as if he belongs to all of our delicate hopes and magnanimous impulses. As other faces soften, she hardens hers. I am willing to believe that there is such a person in our cozy bus community, with the chatty women and the tenderly grizzled men, and the driver who says, "So long, little guy," when the baby leaves, borne aloft by his father. We are trying, my husband Kevin and I. If only that meant we were trying to teach a monkey to do sign language, or trying out this new robot that cleans bathrooms, or trying to save the world one polar ice cap at a time. But when you are a childless couple in your mid-30s with 2 full-time jobs and a 3-bedroom house, everyone knows what trying means. Making love, we used to think penis or breasts, vagina or balls. Thought them hard as the dependable pleasure things they were. Then we thought baby, almost sexier than sex for sex, a mystery beyond tit-for-tat physical love. We thought not quite sperm and egg, those clinical unlovely words, but something like seed, pearl, embryo, pregnant, fetus, heartbeat, fingers, toes, belly bump, love, genius, baby. We have been thinking this baby into limbo existence for 11 months now. The baby isn't coming. The baby is perched somewhere, her fist in her fierce, dainty mouth. I picture her the way Christian children are taught to think of babies God hasn't released from heaven yet. A peck of them, fully formed and squeaky clean, enthroned in clouds, parents, an unnecessary earthly contrivance. Kevin and I have the kind of grown-up jobs that cause people to nod politely when we say what we do and not ask any follow-up questions. I work as a web developer for a creative agency, and Kevin's a software engineer. I wear my peasant blouses and flared skirts on the bus, and he drives to work in his suit. Though he could dress more casually, he likes the advantage the formality gives him. He's not especially handsome, but his shirt is crisp, his tie well chosen, his fingernails trimmed, and his hair nicely kept, neat, with a bit of bounce. What more can a man do?